You're listening to Amachal V'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg, Meseches Shabbos, Daf, Pei Gimel, Amud Beis. I know the simon, I didn't see the 3 points yet, but I know the simon is a pig. So, Pei Gimel, pig. But I don't know what the three things are yet. There's a lot of tumah though, so imagine that it's connected. But let's take a look. Okay. So we are in this discussion about it's a lot of back and forth. The truth is, it's not really so complicated. I mean, when you first go through it, it is. But like, if you're able to chart it out, something like that, it's not so complicated. It is pretty manageable. And we have been in the discussion, which we're going to come back to a little bit at the bottom of the Amud, of the machlokes between Rabba and Rabbi Lazar regarding how to understand the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Rabbanan for the tuma status of Avodah Zarah. Again, it's all rabbinical. This is a rabbinical tuma, but we're looking for biblical models to draw it from and comparisons. To Nida, to Sheretz, and we're going to even see a third category of a tummy object, third type of tuma later on in the Amud. But now we're going to go, by Rav Chama, Bar Guria. It's five lines from the top, and this is something, a question that we've seen before. We quoted it twice actually on Pei Beis, maybe once on Pei Aleph Amud Beis, one on Pei Beis Amud Aleph, and this is a question we quoted. We're quoting it from here, so this is really where it's found. We brought it as a side point in our discussion earlier, but now this is the question being asked generally. Boy Rav Chama Bar Guria, Avodah Zarah Yeshna Le'Evarim O Eino Le'Evarim. We ask, Is there a varim by Avodah Zarah or not? Meaning, a dismembered limb of Avodah Zarah, is there tuma to that? We know that a full object of Avodah Zarah itself, there is tuma. We know that a completely broken but full Avodah Zarah as well, there'd be tuma to it. Now, what if I rip the arm off of an Avodah Zarah? So actually, Rashi is going to clarify that's not actually what we're talking about. We're talking about where it wasn't actually broken off. Because if it was broken off, we'd actually assume that it's not considered a tummy. We're talking about where it was detached, meaning not broken and there's something lacking, but it's detached. So it's still like a full part, but it's not the full idol itself. So this is, so let's take a look. But Rav Chama Bar Guria, Avodah Zarah Yeshna Le'Evarim O Eino Le'Evarim? Are the limbs of Avodah Zarah that were detached, is there tumah to them or not? Heicha Dehedyot Yochel Lachzira Lo Tibaylecha. This question is not being asked regarding a detached limb that could be easily reattached by a hedyot, meaning a hedyot, a non-professional, right? If it's so easily put back in, Rashi says over here. So yeah, let's take a look at Rashi right across from here. It's Yeshna Le'Evarim. So it says Kagon Shechulios Yeshna LeTumasa Ever Ever Olo. We're saying Kagon Shechulios. For example, I forgot the exact translation, but when they're in like different pieces that attach, we had this a similar thing regarding a type of menorah on Mem Vav, you remember, a while ago, that there's a difference between the muksa status of a menorah that has pieces that come out or not. Remember, there could be a menorah that has grooves in it that looks like it's in pieces and it's not. And this is the type of thing we're talking about, and where a hedyot is able to return it. So Rashi says the hedyot yochel hachzira she'ein sarach uman l'kach. You don't need a professional for this. So That's where we're asked. That's the case we're talking about, right? Where or sorry, sorry. Well, so yeah, so yeah, tibayilach. So hecha dehedyot yochalach zira. Back to the Gemara, lo tibayilach. I'm not talking about a case where someone's able to easily return it, because if so, right, de keman de mechaberes dami. Because if it's so easily able to be reattached, then it's basically as if it's already in it, and therefore, it's meaning it's already reattached, and therefore it would be have its full time of status. Keep the boy lach. When are we asking? What are we asking you regarding? Hecha de ein hedyot yachol lachzira. We're talking about specifically where it's not easily reattached, meaning it's not broken off, but you need someone who knows what they're doing to put it back in. Right. So my. What's halacha? Kaven de ein hedyot yachol lachzira keman de mistavra dami. Is it that since a non-professional can't put it back in, maybe it's considered like it is broken, right? And if it is broken, then it's like a broken limb off. It's a broken limb, and then there wouldn't be any tumah to it. It can't be considered as if it's kind of it's as if it's reattached, because it's not. Odilma ha lo mechsera. Right, I didn't skip a line. So come on, describe me. Oh, Dilma had lo mechsera, but maybe I would say over here it's lo mechsera, lo mechasra, meaning that there's nothing taken away from it. So yes, it's true. It's not you can't fully consider it attached, but since it's not broken, it's not lacking something. It's the full limb in its entirety. So perhaps it should still be able to transmit tuma. So that's what we're talking about. But obviously, at least from this side of the Gemara, we're going to learn a different way in a moment. But from this perspective of the Gemara, we're talking about where it's not an easy fix, but it's not really broken. It's just you need a professional to reattach it. So the fact that you have a professional that you need a professional to reattach it, does that mean? So is that going to be as if it's attached? Is it going to transmit tuma or not? But there are those who teach it, who ask the question in the following manner, which is going to be basically the opposite. Hecha de ein hedyot yachol hachzira lo tibaylach. No, of course, if it's a case where you're not able to, the hedyot can't return it, that's not what we're talking about, right? That's not what we're talking about. What are we talking about, right? Why? Demekan demetavra dami, because it's broken. Right. If you're not able to easily reattach it, say, you know, a non-professional can't reattach it. So that's considered broken. That's not going to transmit to them. Kita boy lecha. What case are we asking? Hecha de hedyot yachol hachzira. We're talking about a case where it's easily reattached, meaning a non-professional could do it. So my, what do we say in this case? Kaven de hedyot yachol hachzira keman. Do we say, as we suggested before, that since it's easily able to be reattached, so it is considered as if it's already attached? Or maybe you could say, no, now it's currently taken from it and sitting there, so it's as if it's broken. So that's the question. Either way, we ask this question, we end up with a teku. So We're not quite sure about a detached limb, and not only are we not sure about a detached limb, but we don't even know to what extent it's detached. Is it detached that a professional can put it back in? Is it detached that a non-professional can put it back in? We don't even know that much. Okay, boy Rav Chadvoy Bar Ami. Rav Chadvoy Bar Ami asks a different question. Avodah Zara Pachuz Mikazayis Mahu. What's the halacha regarding Avodah Zara that is less than a kezias? We'll have to clarify what exactly this question means. But let's say we have an avodah zara less than a kezias. So what's the halacha? So maskif lo Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef challenges this question. So what kind of question is that? Lemai, for what? What halacha are you asking about? So if you say you're talking about, is it usher? Meaning, are you usher bahana in general? Avodah Zarah is asur bahana. Now, obviously, it's asur to worship anything, no matter the size. But is less than a size asur bahana? So that's the question. Lo yehei ela zvuv bal ekron. Right, but then you're not going to have the case of zvuv bal ekron. So zvuv bal ekron is the name of avodah zarah. It's mentioned in Sefer Shoftim. Actually, I'm just about up to this with my Navi class. Happens to be we're basically finishing the story of Gideon, and it's right after this. It's in the Perek Ches in Shoftim. So we're right up to this. I'm excited to see it and mention it to my Talmidim tomorrow or next week, whenever it is. So there's this Avodah Zarah Zvuv. Zvuv is Hebrew for fly, and it seems that it was a very small idol, fly-like, probably not exactly the size of a fly, but smaller than a keziah, so a very small idol. D'tanya, as we learned in the Brayse, so v'yisimu lahen bal bris lelokim, or lelohim, ze zvuv bal ekron. So it says in the pasuk that they set up for themselves the bal bris as a god, which is the zvuv bal ekron, right? So bal bris is either another name for it, or it's a different avodah zarah that's comparable. The Baal Bris, it's Baal, like as in avodah zarah Baal, and Baal Bris. It could be that it was the form of a Bris Mila, or it's just what was called Baal Bris. But either way, we're talking about a small idol. And Malamed, this teaches us Shekol Echad Echad Asa Demus Yirasa Umanicha Besochiso, that everybody would make the image of his fear, meaning his avodah zarah, and he'd place it in his kiso, in his like purse, his like bag, his pocket, whatever it was. Kevan shezochra, and when he would remember it, he would or zochra, either remember it or mention it, zochra, whatever it is. Motziya misoch kiso, you take it out of his purse. Umechabko menashka, and he would hug it and kiss it. So, meaning we're talking about a type of idol that people walked around with. They kept in their little bags. They would take it out. They'd hug it, kiss it. They really treated it like an idol, like a god. It wasn't like a representative of some other idol. This was like really an idol itself, and it was very small. It was smaller than a keziah. It was not exactly the size of a zvuv, but close to it. And you're going to tell me that that's not considered a avodah zarah, and that I can have enough from that? Of course not. Ella, says Rav Yosef, or the Gemara in defense, in response to Rav Yosef's question, Ella le'inyan tuma. Rather, we're talking about tuma, not the isra of avodah zarah, but does it transmit tuma if it's less than a keziah? Now, we should just clarify that what we're talking about is Rashi. So let's go to Rashi. Pechosim keziah is two words. It's just important. It's a shout out to you, Shlomo. V'hi Shlomo. This is Shlomo. No. V'hi Shlema. So this is complete. Meaning we're not talking about a broken off nose of an idol. That's not what we're talking about. That would not transmit Tumah. We're talking about a full idol that is smaller than the Keziah's, which is why we went to the Baal Zvuv thing. That's the case we're talking about. So a full idol. So that's the question of Isranan, but really, Rav Yosef says that's not a question, obviously. So now we're talking about, does it transmit tuma? So ela inyan tuma. So my kevan iskish l'sheretz. So what's the halacha? Maybe you should say, well, since avodah zarah is compared to a sheretz, ma sheretz b'kadosha, just like what's the tuma shear of a sheretz? Smaller than a keziah, it's kadosha. It's the size of a lentil. So avodah zarah nami b'kadosha. Maybe you should say the same thing, right? It's comparable. The avodah zarah is compared to a sheretz. Therefore, the shear for tuma of avodah zarah should be like a sheretz kadosha, less than the keziah. Odoma, or maybe ha iskish lemeis. Maybe avodah zarah is compared to a mace. We're going to see that momentarily. And this is, I believe, the third type of tummy object that we try to use as the model for avodah zarah. Right? We use nida, we use sheretz, and now we're using mace apparently. We know that the shear for dead flesh, flesh of a corpse that will transmit tumah is a keziah. Omar Rav Avyo, V'seima Rabba Bar Ula Toshma. Let's hear proof. D'tanya, we learned in a raisa, Avodah Zarah Pechus Mikazayis Ein Batuma Kol Iker. Avodah Zarah that's less than a Kazayis does not have Tuma at all. Okay. That's a fair surprise. Shneimar, as the pasuk says, Vayishlach es Afra el kever b'nei ha'am, and he cast dust to the kever, to the graves of the people of the nations. Whom are we talking about? So we are talking about, Rashi doesn't say here, but this is talking about Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was one of the greatest kings of Yehuda and of Yisrael as well. He's one of the greatest kings that the Jewish people ever had. I believe the Navi itself actually says that he was the greatest king, and what he achieved, a tremendous, tremendous tshuva movement. He was a couple of kings before the Chorban HaBayis of Nebuchadnezzar. Yoshiyahu was incredibly righteous. And he himself was a Baal Tshuva. He was inspired. He found a Sefer Torah. Chazal say opened up to the Tochacha, and he had this, you know, crazy taking down of all of ridding the country of idolatry. And one of the things he did was he destroyed lots of idols and bamos and killed idolatrous priests and one of the things he did is that he cast dust to the kever of the Bnei Ha'am, to these, right? So ma mace b'kazayis, avavodah zarah b'kazayis. Just like the size of a mace. So over here, there's a connection in this pasuk, at least a hint of afra of avodah zarah to a kever, right? The dust of avodah zarah to a kever. So just like mace, which is the kever, is a kazayas. Avodah zarah b'kazayas. So too, avodah zarah is a kazayas. Now, this pasuk, I mean, this is a pasuk and navi, right? But we're talking about a derabanan anyway. So, like, a pasuk and navi can't teach us really a halacha, a midraisa halacha, but it could be a precedent for the way the rabbanan would design a halacha. And they say, look, the pasuk over here in, this is in Malachim, is clearly showing us a connection between avodah zarah and a mace, so therefore that should teach us this halacha that should be which is that the shear size is a kazayas just like a mace, not kadasha like a sheretz. Okay, so now we're gonna jump back a little bit with this new information, we're gonna go back and complete our understanding of how Rabbi Lazar understands the machlokes of the Rabbanan and Rabbi Kiva. So, Rabbanan, lemai hilchasa iskish l'sheretz. So, according to the Rabbanan, what's the connection between avodah zarah and a sheretz? Dulo matame b'masa, that it shouldn't be a matame b'masa, right? Like a nida. Nida is tame b'masa, sheretz is only tame b'manga, with touching, not with carrying. Lenida. So, and but they admit also that a different pasuk connects avodah zarah to a nida. So de'ena le'evarim, that teaches us that avodah zarah is not there's no tuma of evarim, a detached just like a nida, right? A detached part of a nida doesn't have tumas nida, so a detached part of avodah zarah does not have tumas avodah zarah b'masa. Right, and lemeis, and now we have a third pasuk that connects avodah zarah to a mace. D'lo matame b'kadasha, that it's not matame b'kadasha, rather it's matame b'kazayis. So that's what they would do. That's what these three connections. It teaches us all these kulos. So ema l'chumra, right? But I would say l'chumra, right? Meaning, What you just did was you showed me that there are three connections, three different types of tuma objects that avodah zarah is compared to, and what you basically did was you took the kulos of each of them, right? There's a kula of nida that there's no tumas evarim, right? There's a kula of mace, which is that it's only kazayas, not kadasha like a sheretz. There's a tuma of sheretz that it's only tame b'maga, not b'masa. But you basically took all three took a kula from each case and applied it to Avodah Zarah, why did you do that? I might suggest do a lechumra, right? Why not? No, everyone loves a good chumra. What's going on here? Over here you can have three. So lemay hilchasa aksar rachmana l'sheretz l'temuye becha adasha, right? So like for what's the halacha that the Torah is comparing sheretz to the tuma of to be matame bekadasha. So lenida l'temuye be'evin masama, right? This is what I could do, right? I can just to demonstrate those chumros that you're missing out on. You could make some fantastic chumros. Here they are. So if you want, I could say, well, compare it to a sheretz, it's tamuye bechadasha. And lenida, compare it to nida, what does that do? The tamuye be'evin masama, right? That just, remember the evin masama, the stone that's placed on the pegs and the thing goes under it. Yes, from Pei Beis, right? So over here, this is the cases where you have a large stone that's like resting on pegs. And if a nida or a zav would be on top of it, so the tuma would go down through the evin masama and be matami things that are under it, which normally wouldn't happen. It's a big chumrah that we have by nida and zav that of evin masama. And we said avodah zarah does not have this chumrah, but maybe we'd say let's take that chumrah from nida. That sounds great, right? And we said from sheretz we're going to learn the small shear, not kazayis, but rather kadasha, and one more. You can get tumas ohel over here. So if they're under the same ohel, or if it serves as an ohel, then you can get an extra level of tumah for avodah zarah. So why don't you grab all of these? So the Gemara responds, tumah avodah zarah derabanan hi, v'kula v'churma, l'chumra lo makshinan. Listen, this is all rabbinic. This is all rabbinic. And therefore, if we have a kula v'chumra, so the kula makshina, we're going to make a hekesh for the kula, and the chumra lo makshina, we're not going to make the chumra make the hekesh for the chumra. Now we do have to acknowledge that there were some places that we did get some chumros, right? Definitely according to Rabbah, and even according to Rabbi Lazar, there were certain in each case there were some chumros that we did get. For example, tumas masa we got from Nida, we did get a chumra. According to Rabbi Lazar, according to Rabbi Kiva with Rabbi Lazar, and according to the Rabbanan and Rabbi Kiva within Rabbah. So there are some cases where we do and some of the Rishonim do address this point. But as a klal, at least it seems for the most part, if when we're talking about a Derabanan and we're talking and we find a hekish, we're going to do it lakula and not lachumra. But if anyone was confused, or when you look over and say, hey, hold on. Yeah, there are some exceptions in what we said. Definitely according to Rabbah, but even according to Rabbi Lazar within Rabbi Kiva. Okay, great. New Mishnah. Minayin l'sfina shehi tahora. How do I know that a boat is tahora? Tahora meaning not susceptible to tuma. Right? You're like, oh, I didn't know that. Well, yeah, now we know. So how do we know that? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Derech aniyah b'lev yam. The way of the boat is in the heart of the sea. This is a Pasuk in Mishlei. So to understand what the Pasuk is talking about, Rashi says, Harehi kiyam. Rashi says, b'lev yam means it is like the sea. So we'll have to see what it means by the sea. Pshit, the Gemara says pshita aniya belev yamhi. So what does this pasuk mean to us? So it's obvious that a boat is in the heart of the sea. What's it telling us? Hakamashman, it's telling us kiyam, that it's like the sea. Ma yam tahor af svina tahora. Just like the water of the sea does not become tame, so right, meaning a cup of water, that could become tame, but the sea, which is considered a mechuber lekarka, it's not it can't become tame. And this pasuk in Mishlei comes to teach us that it is like the sea. So again, if we're talking about a pasuk in Mishlei, that's not like a primary source in halacha, but presumably it's Shlomo HaMelech teaching us a halacha that he already knew, something halacha Moshe Sinai. It's a halacha he was already aware of that he's coming to inform us, but this is not the source of it. This is just a a quote of it. And that is so that's why, at least one reason why a boat would not become tameh. Now, Tanya, we went to the Bryce. Yeah.
Oh, it's interesting. But in the pasuk, Shlomo Melech is saying in wonderment, it's like, I don't get it. He's saying he doesn't understand why.
He doesn't understand why that would be
if
so.
If you have the path of a ship, derech haniyah is b'lev yom, but he doesn't understand why it is that that ship is impervious. A ship that would otherwise be capable, be susceptible to tumah based on its construction, by virtue of being a ship or in water, therefore somehow that changes that. He doesn't understand that.
Uh huh. I don't have the full pasuk in my Gemara. What's the full pasuk?
Where is this? Derech anesher b'shemayim, derech nachash alitzur, derech ania b'lev yam, v'derech gavur b'alma. But I mean, in the context, he doesn't understand. Mm-hmm. I have to go back to earlier possible. Uh-huh.
To
get that.
Yeah, but that would be a question, meaning that we have a structure that normally should be mikabel tumah. Obviously, it's we're talking about a ship even the right size that would be mikabel tumah, but it's not because of by virtue of the fact that it is on the sea, boat on the sea. So, we'll have to see. Because there's more than one reason for this. Tanya, we learned the Braisa Chananya Omer Nilmada Misak. He says, I'll give you another reason. We learn it from sack, right? Sackcloth. And this is a part of it. I think we've quoted a few. I think we've quoted it earlier. The Gemara over here says that it's going to be later on. But I feel like we for sure quoted this.
Yeah.
At least in Rashi several times, right? That we learn it from sack. Masak metaltel mali v'reikon, afko metaltel mali v'reikon. Just like sackcloth, like a sackcloth bag is moved around while it's empty and while it's full, so to any and therefore it's mekabel tumah. So to anything of this of the material mentioned in this pasuk regarding sack, which I'm seeing if Rashi mentions it over here, but so yeah, he does. He actually mentions that. He says, Shahari kli eitzhi v'hukshu l'sak l'inyan tumah. I think also it's or. I think also hide. So that if you have sackcloth, hide, or wood, so if you have one of these three things, something made out of one of these three things that has a base kibul, so you can hold things, meaning a wooden box or a sack made of sackcloth or hide has to be comparable to sackcloth, or sack. A sack, meaning that if it's something that you would carry, if it's empty, you'd carry. If it's full, that would be mekabel tumah. However, something that it's like when it's full, it's absolutely stationary, that would not be a mekabel tumah, because it has to be like the paradigm sack, which is metaltelin mali v'reikon. So over here, so he says, you know what it is about a boat that makes it not mekabel tumah. He says, "Masak metaltel mali v'reikon, afko metaltel mali v'reikon, lafuke sfina, which excludes a boat. De'ena metaltelis mali v'reikon. It's not movable mali v'reikon, right? Perhaps people carry it while it's empty, but you don't carry it a boat while it's full of people, right? And it, being on the water is not considered you carrying it. Maybe carried by the water, but that's not called carrying. You have to carry it. So that's why a sfina is not. So we have two reasons. One, because the fact that a sfina is on the water, and therefore it's compared to the water, and therefore it's tahora, or because a sfina is not metatzel mali v'reikon. So my binayu. So is there nafkamina between these two reasons? So we're gonna have two. Ika binayu sfina shelcheres. So first of all, if you have a sfina shelcheres, mandam or ena belev yam. Hanami belev yamhi. So if you're going to say, what's the reason for a boat? Because the boat is in the sea, so I don't care what it's made of. If it's made of cheres, the same thing would apply. However, leman d'amar kisak, hanach d'ksivi gabe sak, d'imaltelis mali v'reikon in ilo lo. It's so according to the one who says that the sak is the paradigm, so that's only the things that are written with sak, meaning or an eights. But if it's not or an eight, right, and only then do we say if it's matatelis mali v'reikon, yes, and if it's not, then no. But that's only things that are made of sak, eights, Or. Aval Svina Shacheres, Afagad Deinu Matatelas Maliv Reikon. So Svina Shacheres, okay, yeah, you're right. It's not Matatelas Maliv Reikon, but that's not this, that's not the, those are not the, the requirements for a cher, for something made of Cheres. So that would be a Nafkamina. Ina Amina the Nafkamina. Svinas HaYardain. A Svina of the Yardain. Rashi says, Ina Mi Svinas HaYardain. Rashi says, "Delo itchesh l'sak." Right, cheres is not compared to sak in the pasuk. It's not juxtaposed with sak, and therefore we don't apply the paradigm of sak for them. But also, so next one, is nami svinin zayardin ika benayu shehi katana. So the yardin and boats on the yardin are particularly small. Mataltelis meleya, very kanis, and it's movable, full. And empty the fisha nar katan, right? So because the Yarden is a relatively narrow river, the boats are relatively small, and since they're relatively small, people actually use them for carrying objects, right? Usually your wagon of choice is not a boat, but if the boat is small enough, you can imagine like a little canoe that you might actually put things in and carry them to get them to one place or another if that's what you have available. So then this would be another nafkamina. Right, for the same idea. So inami students are lamadamar ania belev yamhi hanami ania belev yamhi. It's a boat. It's on the sea. It would be tahor. Lamadamar matatelas malivarekan hanami matatelas malivarekan. But over here, this is matatelas malivarekan. Therefore, it's comparable to sak. Therefore, it's mekabel tuma. Dama Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, and this actually is in accordance with, as it was explained by Chanina ben Akavya, Bibnei ma'amru Svina Sayardain Tameya. Why is it that Svina Sayardain is considered Tameya? Bibnei Shetoanin Osa Biabasha Umaridin Osa Lamayin. Because people carry it to the, on the dry land, and they bring it into the sea. So it's movable. It's metalteles. Maybe I said it incorrectly before about it being used to carry other things. It itself is metalton. People move it around even when it's on dry land, but it's also brought into the sea. So therefore, that's why it's mekabel tuma. And Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, the Olam. Okay, and so then Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Rav regarding this, the Olam al yimna adam es aftan beis medrash. You should never, a person should never hold himself for the base from the back from the base medrash. Afilu shah achas, even for one moment, you shouldn't stay out of the base medrash. Why? Shahari kama shalom nishnas mishnah zuba beis medrash. Because I learned this mishnah for many, many years, and many times I've learned this Mishnah of the Beis Medrash. V'lo niskala taima ad shaba Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya upersha. And I actually never heard this explanation for why a Svina Sayardain is Mekabel Tuma until Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya explained it to me now. And if I would have been absent today, despite the fact that I've been in the Beis Medrash for many, many years, learning this Mishnah many, many times, I wouldn't have gotten it. You can't afford to miss one moment because you might miss an important teaching you never knew before. Amar Bionason, Liolam al Yuna Adamis Atan Beis Medrash Shemedivri Torah. Really, a person should never hold himself back from the Beis Medrash or from the words of Torah, Vafil B'Shas Misa, even when he's right on his deathbed or at the time of death. Right? Shenemar Zos HaTorah Adam Kiyamos Ba'Ohel. Right? It's a nice drash on the sponsor. This is the Torah of a man when he dies in the tent. Right? So what it's really talking about is the halachos of Tumas Meis and Tumas Ohel. Right? But the drasha is, this is the Torah of a man who dies when he's in the tent. And it means in the tent of Torah, right? Matovo Lecha Yaakov, right? The Yosef Ohalim. That's the type of tent we're talking about. So a person who's dying in the tent, who's dying in the tent? Meaning even the person who's dying should be in the Beis Medrash. Afilu B'Shas Misa. Tehei Osek Batori should be involved in Torah. Amar Reish Lakish, your talker says, Ein Divrei Torah Miskaimin, Ela B'mi Shamei Misatzma Olecha. And this we did in Maseches Brachos. This was like in that series of drashos, right in the Fnei Achsanya, when they were in Karen B'Yavne. So it says they had a bunch of drashos about the greatness of Torah and the greatness of hosts. So this was one of the greatness of Torah. In Divrei Torah Miskayimin Ela B'Misha Meimis Atzmo Leha. No, Divrei Torah is not Miskayim except for someone who kills himself over it. How do we know? Shneimar, it says, Zos HaTorah Adam Kiyamos Ba'ohel. This is the Torah of the man who dies in the tent. Meaning, you got to kill yourself in the Beis Medrash in order to really be mekayim the Torah. So it's another beautiful drasha on this pasuk that connects to the importance of Torah. Okay. Stop this thing.